Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you here for the 11 o'clock service at the Oasis. Glad to have each and every one of you. Ephesians chapter 3 this morning, verses 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 3. While you're finding that, again, a couple of reminders. This coming Wednesday, the 10th of December, is our last sort of regular Wednesday night service of the year. We are taking the 17th off and the 31st off, but we are obviously having the two Christmas Eve services on Wednesday the 24th. So don't forget, you can either come to the 6 o'clock or the 7:30 Christmas Eve service on the 24th. But this Wednesday, we hope you'll join us for the very last Wednesday night of the year. Again, no service on the 17th, no service on the 31st, but on Christmas Eve, the 24th, two services. And then, as Jeff was saying, don't forget, men, about the kickoff event January the 3rd from 4 to 7 right here at the church for our men's ministry. Please get out there and register online if you're planning on being here. And I even threw out a challenge to all the men of the Oasis at 9, so I want to do it again at 11. I am challenging you, because I'm doing this myself, to invite somebody to come with you that night. Okay, who could you invite? What other man could you invite to come with you to that kickoff event? We want to carry the momentum that we've already got at the end of this year, and we want to carry it into the new year. All right. This passage we're going to be looking at this morning is the end of our God is Able series. 12 weeks ago, we started this series. In fact, this passage is what started it all several months ago. If you recall, when I did the series through the book of Ephesians, after I preached on this passage, I remember Nicole and I meeting on Monday, and both of us felt like God didn't want us to be done with this whole concept of God is able. That God wanted us to do a series on just that. So we've been exploring throughout the Bible all the times where the Word of God tells us that God is able to do something and how that applies to our life. And so this is a very appropriate passage to end with, because again, it's the one that started it all. And I think you will also find this, that beginning next week, we are going to resume our God Has Something For You series, a series that began on our Spiritual Life Weekend, where we looked at the call of Isaiah, the call of Jeremiah, and the call of Jonah. And beginning next week, we're going to go through the Bible and look at all the calls that are significant of God inviting a human being to partner with Him in some way. And I think you will see how this not only is an appropriate ending for the God is Able series, but how this is a great launching point into our God Has Something For You series, which begins next week, and we hope you'll be able to be with us. We begin next week with the call of Moses out of the book of Exodus. But today, we are in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Would you look at it with me, please? Paul says, "Now to him who by the power that is working within us is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." This is a great doxology, if you will, in the middle of this great book of Ephesians. And what I want to do today is show us five things out of this passage that actually begins in verse 14 with Paul's praying down through the doxology in verse 21. And I want to start here in the first few words of verse 20 and the first few words of verse 21. And I want us to look at the focus of Paul, the focus of Paul. Because in verse 20, he says, "Now to him," and then in verse 21, he starts out, "to him." You see, in Paul's mind, in the life of the church and in our own individual personal lives, it needs to be all about him. It needs to be all about God. God has to be the center, the priority of everything that we do. We as Christians need to be captivated by our God and stay captivated by our God. We need to have our eyes always looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We always need to have our ears open to the voice of God in our life. We always need to be leaning in towards God, drawing near to Him because He draws near to us, following Him very closely, walking in His steps that He has left for us to walk in, you see. So often in this world of distraction, even for Christians, the world, the flesh, and the devil can begin to draw us away from our God. And we can begin to make things about our life, our service for God, and even our ministry for God more about other things than we are about God. It's so sad that in many churches today, God gets lost in the church. That He's not the primary focus, that it's not about Him, it's about all these other things. You and I at the Oasis Church need to make a commitment that we will maintain our focus on God and make our services and our ministries all about Him. Because that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be about Him. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. I mean, if I'm really going to live and enjoy life and experience life at the highest level, it's got to be centered in Jesus Christ, you see. Paul says in the book of Colossians, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then we will appear with Him in glory. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we want to know our way through this life, it only comes through Jesus. If we want to know the truth that we so desperately need to navigate this life, it only comes through Jesus. If we want to experience life at the highest level, that abundant life that He's come to give us, it can only be done through Jesus. It's got to be about Him. So I hope today and every day, at the end of this year, and as we get ready to cross over into a new year, that we will make the commitment that our focus needs to stay with God and stay upon God. It's always got to be about Him. Now to Him. To Him. But then I want us to move from the focus to what Paul talks about here in this passage also, and that's the faith. The faith. From the focus to the faith. You gotta have that focus because that helps us to strengthen and build and even birth the faith that we need. Because notice Paul says in verse 20, to the one who by the power that is working within us is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or think. Let's first focus on the one who is able. Paul, in a sense, is reminding all of us, when we can't, either collectively as a church or even individually as an individual believer, when we can't, God can. God can, you see. When we don't think we can get there or go through this or do something, God can. Nothing is too hard or too difficult for God. He is able, you see. Maybe you're in a season or situation of life right now where you can't see your way clear. You don't know how to get through it. God can. You see, when we're at a loss, we're never at a loss with God. With God, there's always a way. There's always a wisdom. There's always the power and everything. So God can. I want you to remember that today. Do you have the faith that God can, you see? Doesn't have to be, I can. In fact, many times when we are at the end of ourselves and we throw our hands up and go, I can't or we can't, that's when God can really show up. Because then we just totally have to rely and depend upon Him. But notice something here. Paul connects God's ability, capability, the fact that he can, with what he can do in and through us as his people. That's what he's talking about here. Because he talks, before he talks about the one who is able to do far beyond it, notice he says, by the power that is working where? In us. Amen. Let's first talk about the power. Our God is omnipotent. He is almighty. And Paul prayed, if you go back to chapter 1 of Ephesians and look at verses 19 and 20 just very briefly with me, you'll notice even there, Paul is praying for the eyes of the Ephesian Christians to be open to this incomparable power of God toward us as believers. Verse 19 of chapter 1. He's saying, do you realize that God has this incomparable power toward us? And then in verse 20, he says, oh, and by the way, this is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now think about what Paul's saying here. He's saying, based upon chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, and chapter 3, verse 20, that the power that God grants to every child of his is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And this power isn't distant. It's not like out there somewhere. It literally resides in us. It is always available to us. It is always accessible to us through the presence and power of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We have resurrection power with us all the time. And so it's one thing to say, I believe that God can do these great things in his universe that he wants to do. Yeah, but Paul says, yeah, but have you ever applied that to yourself? Have you ever applied that to see yourself, that God's power resides in you, this resurrection power, and by that power, he can do things in you and through you and with you that is far beyond all that you could ever ask or think? Not just beyond, but far beyond. Let me ask you this morning a sobering, maybe even convicting and challenging question this morning. How many of us are living beyond ourselves? You see, because what Paul's saying here is that, here's the rub. Many Christians accept Jesus as their Savior and then spend their whole life trying to live and serve and minister for Jesus, their Savior, but doing it in their own ability, their own capacity, their own wisdom, their own, what they can achieve, what they can accomplish. Here's something else to consider. Would there be churches that literally you could take a group of capable people from the world who don't even know Jesus, and you could train them a little bit to come into a church and basically take over the ministry, and would it really be any different in many churches? Because how many churches and how many Christians are really modeling and the example of a life that is beyond what we can achieve and what we can accomplish? You see? And that's what Paul's saying here. He's not just saying, I have the faith as a Christian that God can do things beyond all that I could ask or think. No, it's God can do this in, through, and with me. And so often we limit ourselves and live within our own little bubble because it's what we can accomplish and we can achieve. And we never live beyond ourselves. We never experience what it's like for God to take us beyond. And that's the faith God wants us to have. Amen. Not just that he can, but he can do it in, with, and through me. You see, that's what Paul's saying here. That's what Paul wants these Ephesian Christians to get. that we not only have the focus in the right place, it's upon him, but that we have the faith that this power that resides always within me as a believer in Jesus Christ can enable me, give me the ability through my God to do more than I could ever dream of. That's why this connects so well with the Calling of God series that's coming. Because how many people did God go to in the Bible that we're going to look at? And he invited them to be partners with him in advancing his kingdom and achieving great things and accomplishing his will. And most of them goes, you got the wrong person. I couldn't do that. I don't see myself being able to do that, because we're looking at things through us, you see, rather than God. And we need to not only have the right focus, we need to have this faith that God can do far beyond all that I could ask or think, but it's by the power of God that is working in me. And it's always accessible. It's always available. If I just fill myself with the Holy Spirit and am filled with the Spirit and connect to the Spirit, I have an unlimited power to live way beyond what I could ever do on my own. Amen. Well, let's go from the focus and the faith to the fuel. Because Paul also mentions in this passage that when I believe in a God who is able, a God who can do far beyond all that I could ask or think, Paul says, guess what? It fuels your prayer life. Because notice in verse 14 and verse 16, he starts out this passage by saying, I kneel before my God. And then in verse 16, I'm going to start praying. And this prayer in verses 16, 17, 18, it's an amazing prayer. He's praying for the spiritual enlightenment and illumination and maturity and growth of these Ephesian Christians. It's a prayer that we've studied before. It's a prayer that all of us should always go back to and meditate on, because, man, you want to talk about a model prayer in Scripture? This is one. But why is Paul motivated and inspired to pray this prayer and to pray this way? Because God is able. Because God's power is available to every Christian. And so Paul knows not only that his God can, but that God's people can through him. So he's going to bring big prayers to God. He's going to honor God by the magnitude of his requests. Let me ask you, where's your prayer life right now? Do you get that inspiration and motivation to continually go to God, as the Bible says, and pray without ceasing, because you know that you are talking to a God who is able to do far beyond all that you could ask or think? And there's nothing too big you could ever bring to God, and there's nothing too small you could ever bring to God, because God is able to handle and deal with all of it and do far beyond what we could ask or think. Do you believe that God can heal spiritually, emotionally, and physically? And that you're continually talking to God and asking him for great things because he's a great God? You know, Jesus said, all of us as his people should continually be asking, seeking, and knocking. Because the one who asks will receive, the one who seeks will find, and the one who knocks, the door will continually be open. Are we asking, seeking, and knocking continually? Because we believe in a God who is able. You see, that's why Paul lived such a vibrant prayer life, had such a vibrant prayer life, because he believed God could. So he was always going to God with these things. He believed in a God that could make everything beautiful in his time. He believed in a God that could work all things together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't mean everything is good, no. but it means our God is so great that he can work and bring something good out of it. That in time, give God time, and in his time, he can make something beautiful. That's the God who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or think. So Paul is saying here, when I truly believe that my God is able, man, my prayer life is just, the fuel's going to continually be there because I'm going to continually go to a God that I know he can. I can't, but he can. This fuel is not only seen in fueling our prayer life, but you'll notice in verse 21, it fuels our praise life because he ends this doxology with, to him be the glory where? In the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul's like, bring it on, God, because we are part of something that is going to be this unceasing and unending link of praise and honor and worship to our God because of who he is. But listen, what's Paul say? It's got to start in the church. How can we expect the world and those that don't know God to see God and to see him for who he really is if the people who claim to be gods aren't glorifying him, aren't honoring him, aren't praising him? And by the way, to glorify God is also not just to worship, to honor, to exalt, to praise. It also means to acknowledge God for who he really is. And that means then that all of us have the privilege, the honor, but also the responsibility to let God take us beyond ourselves so that when people look at us, whether they're our fellow believers or whether they're non-believers, they look at us and they literally scratch their heads and they cannot come up with any logical or earthly explanation for how we're doing what we're doing, how we're being what we're being, how our attitude is the way it is, how we can navigate through these things. They have no explanation because the only explanation is it's a supernatural explanation. It's only because of God taking us beyond what we can do ourselves. And that needs to be seen where? In the church. That's why the church, we have the responsibility, every church, every community of believers has the responsibility of saying, I don't want our ministry just to be a reflection of what a bunch of people can come together and achieve and accomplish. I want our fellowship to be able to accomplish and achieve things that are so amazing, so out there, that only God could get the credit for it. Because there could be no other explanation for it, you see. That's when God gets glory in the church. Because this can't be man that's doing this. This can't be a mere human being that's able to do this. There's got to be something or someone behind them that's enabling them to be able to be and do and achieve and accomplish what they're doing. I hope our church will always be committed to be a church that not only obviously makes it about him and has faith in a God who can and allows the God who can to fuel our prayer life and our praise life, but a church that goes, God, we don't want to be a church that just can do what we want to do and what we could accomplish. You come in here and you do the work of God that only you can do. That's what we want. And I'll say, you know, it's always my desire for God to use this pile of dust to show people this is God. This isn't Jeff Royce, because Jeff Royce is nobody and nothing. But look what God can do. because all it really takes is us just being yielded and making ourselves available. It's the God who can, not us who can. But when we put ourselves in the hands of God, like these people did in the Bible, when God finally convinced them and persuaded them to follow his call, look at what he did with mere mortals just like us. They were just human beings that put their pants on one leg at a time, as we say. There was nothing special about them. It's not like they had some special gifting or insight or wisdom that you and I don't have access to. No. And yet, look at what God, and so we look at those people and we go, wow, you know, they're in the hall of fame of sainthood and all of this. It's like, yeah, but that same power, it's in you too. Wednesday night, going through the book of Galatians, I pointed out, I loved what Peter said. He said, the same God that empowered, or what Paul said, he said, the same God that empowers Peter for his ministry empowers me. Paul's basically saying, the God who's mighty in Peter is the God who's mighty in me. And guess what? That same God is mighty in you too. Let's get to the last couple. In verse 19, as Paul's bringing this great prayer of his to sort of its culmination, he ends with this phrase. I'm praying for all of these things, God, and the culmination is so that the people of God would be filled to all the fullness of God. So we've talked about the focus, we've talked about the faith, we've talked about the fuel, let's talk about the filling. I want you to concentrate on that word, filled. It means to be permeated. All of us, when we come to God, and even throughout our lives, we come as broken people, as broken vessels. There's not a one of us that's not broken. But guess what God can do? God can restore our brokenness. He can remake our brokenness. In fact, he can patch up our brokenness and make us whole again. That's what God can do. So often, we want to hide our brokenness, not only from one another, but from God even. That's what Adam and Eve did as soon as they sinned. What'd they do? They went hiding. The only way to be whole is to let God, you know, obviously, he sees the brokenness, but for us to acknowledge our brokenness and let God come in and begin to patch the cracks and heal the brokenness and make us whole, because he can. Some of you are familiar with the very unique Japanese pottery called kintsugi. It's where instead of hiding the brokenness, they actually highlight the brokenness by using gold along the cracks. So you have this pottery that's all broken and cracked, and yet you have this gold all around it. Because those cracks are part of the story of the pottery. And guess what? Our cracks, our brokenness is part of our story too. And instead of hiding it, it's a way to bring glory to God to say, look, here I was broken, but look at how God has patched that brokenness. Look how he has filled in those cracks. Look how he has permeated my life and made me whole again after being so broken. Remember, the God who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or think is the God who can fill up your cracks and make you whole. But he's also a God that wants to bring us from the focus and the faith and the fuel and the filling to notice the fullness. To be filled up to all the fullness of God. And this word speaks about being complete, being whole. So many Christians go through their whole life feeling like they're lacking, that they're deficient. And yet the Bible tells us when you and I are in Christ, there's nothing that we lack. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, not one thing. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. In him, Jesus Christ, is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily or in bodily form. And you, Paul speaking to the Colossian Christians, you are filled up in him. You're full. You're complete. You're not lacking anything. You're not deficient in anything. Because God will thoroughly equip, furnish, and supply us with everything we need throughout our life. My God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So why do we go through our life feeling so incomplete and so lacking and so deficient when the message of God's word is exactly the opposite? You're far from it. You got everything you need because you got Jesus. You can live in the fullness of God and never have to feel like you're lacking ever again, because whatever we truly need can be found within our relationship with God. Again, the world, the flesh, and the devil makes us think that somehow we're missing out. You got Jesus. You're not missing out on anything. Again, if you've been here on Wednesday night, you know that when we began this series in the book of Colossians, I gave those folks two spiritual equations that summarize our study of Galatians. Jesus plus anything equals nothing, and Jesus plus nothing equals everything. God wants us to live in the fullness of him. He wants us to be filled. He wants us to have our prayer life and our praise life fueled and faith in a God who can, who's able, but not just in some, you know, cosmic way. He wants it to bring it right down to our everyday lives and see that this God who can, who is able, because of the power that he placed within us when the Holy Spirit came to live within us and dwell there, that by that power, he can do great things in and through us far beyond what we could ever ask or think. Would you be open to that God today? Would you be making yourself available to that God today to say, I know God can do it through them, or God can do this? No, God can do it through me. He can do it through me. And God wants us to have that faith in him, through us, and in us today. I'm going to ask Nicole and our worship team to come now. And as they come and get settled on the platform, I'm going to ask you to stand with me and join me in prayer. Father, I pray today that all of us, Lord, would be challenged to live beyond ourselves, because we are connected and partnering with a God who can do things beyond what we could ever accomplish or achieve on our own without him. And God, you certainly are ready and willing to work in and through your people at all times. In fact, you're so ready and willing to work in and through your people that you literally placed your power inside of each of us so that it's always available, it's always accessible. There's nothing that we'll ever face that we don't have your power. There's no challenge before us that we don't have your power to be there. There's no problem, no difficulty, no situation, Lord, that ever comes into our life that somehow when we go to look for that power, it's not there. It's always there. So, Lord, may we commit ourselves to being a people that says to you, God, I'm willing to live beyond myself. Maybe for the very first time in my life, or if I have been living beyond myself, I want to continue, God, because I'm seeing that this is the real way to live, that I should not limit what you can do in and through my life, that you are the God that can do way more in me and through me than I ever thought imaginable. Lord, give us that faith today to believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.